One other thing, if you could do it for us, Stuart, it's from Ralph and Hannah. I've got some bits and pieces I'm going to stick on the table about them. Is it possible for you to highlight the presence of it out the back? It's various stuff, and what they want is for people who want to sign up to like newsletters and info from them, if they can, I'll leave a piece of paper and a pen out the back, if they can put their email address on this piece of paper, if they want info to be kept up to date, then I'll email the whole batch over to Ralph and Hannah so they know. Is that okay? Right. So there's a bit of info. This is the sort of stuff. It's the umbrella organisation that they're with.
Right, that's lovely.
Okay.
That's lovely. Yeah. Yes, thanks very much.
Can I encourage you to take your seats, please? Good morning and welcome. It's good to see you all. Probably a few spaces with holidays, but you're very welcome. And we will be having coffee and tea, I hope, afterwards. As we start, begin together, what I'd like to do is for us to stand together and read Psalm 2, which is going to be projected on the overhead. Please stand. We will be reading and discussing later the response of one of the most notorious kings in Israel. But this time, it's not just kings that are responsible. We each have a responsibility. And as we come before God, just let us see where we stand before a holy God. Let's read together. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The rulers of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance. The ends of the earth, your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. And we'll continue by singing together hymn 366 from Mission Praise, Jesus is King. Please sit down. And let us pray. Lord Jesus, at the very beginning of this service, we would acknowledge that you are the King, and that you are due all respect and all authority. Because, Lord, you are the ruler of all things. We know that everything has been committed into your hands, that you might rule over all. And yet, we do not see everything subjected to you yet. We know that there is a world that is still in rebellion, that there are forces that would deny you your rights. But this morning, as we would come here to worship you, we would acknowledge you as the sovereign God, worthy of praise, worthy of all praise. Later, Lord, as we read your scripture, we will see those who will stand against you. And we know that that was not a unique point in history, but it is indeed normal for the society in which we all live. Lord, just be with us, we pray now, and grant that we indeed, as we are together, understand something of your purposes and your will as we read your word together. We pray for this world in which we've been put. And as we see war, famine and distress on every part, so we also see man's ingratitude, cruelty and hopelessness as they reject a holy God. We think this week even of trade talks, which would have done so much to lift the poorest in this world out of some of their grinding poverty, and yet, for short-term gain, it has been set aside. Lord, we can almost despair, but we know that that is wrong, that you do rule in the affairs of men, and even though men would set out to thwart you, yet you remain God. So, Lord, as we are together, we just pray for your blessing
ask you to be with us this morning. Now we just commit ourselves into your hands, in your name. Amen. We have a signing song. So if the children would like to come up.
I think everyone's away on holiday, aren't there? Just a few children today can join in with us. Well, this is a sign song that we've all done before, so we're just going to enjoy doing it. And Chris is going to play a short introduction. We're going to sing the chorus bit first, "The joy of the Lord will make you strong," into the verse, and then the chorus once more. So we'll start. Ready?
The joy of the Lord will make you strong. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. So clap your hands and sing your praises to God. Shout for joy to the Lord. Dance and celebrate His goodness and love. Praise and glory to Him. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. The joy of the Lord will make you strong.
Thank you.
Right, if you'd like to go back, I'll call you. I'm sure I'm the least coordinated person in the room. I really do struggle. Well done, Liz. Thank you. Can we sing again? Hymn 372, "Jesu, Lover of My Soul." Please stand.
Let me to thy bosom fall.
Please sit down and we'll take up an offering for the Lord's work and the work of the church. Thank you. Let's just give thanks. Lord, we just thank you for these gifts that have been made as part of the offering of this church. We know that many gifts are in fact made in other ways, by direct debit and other forms. But Lord, this is only a fraction. We do not give you anything. Everything that we have comes from you. Are not of the cattle on a thousand hills all yours? So Lord, as we take these offerings now, we just pray that you will guide those that distribute them, that they might be used wisely and according to your purposes. We just thank you for them. In your name. Amen. I have just one or two notices. First and foremost, most importantly, coffee. Ivy and Tony are feeling a little lonely this morning. Morris has taken up with us clearing away afterwards. And so it'll be Ivy, Tony and Liz only for coffee this morning. They would love to have some help, please. So anybody that could help them, please do, because they've got a lot to do, even though with a fewer of us. There's a notice from Bill. She says that there is a youth group game session tonight at between 5 and 7 on the Liss Forest playing field. There is no alternative if the weather is wet, but all are welcome. Bring drinks and snacks as usual. This will continue on a Sunday, same place, same time, until the new youth group term begins. Do feel free to come along. Tom has put some papers on the table at the back in the foyer relating to Ralph and Hannah. He would love you to be able to sign up with emails, etc. He will then collate these, put them together and send them all to Ralph, who will then distribute newsletters, etc. on a more regular basis so you can be kept up to date with their work. So please do feel free. Have a look at the papers out there for signing up. But also Tom has put some information sheets there as well. So please feel free. Take them for yourself and read them and circulate them. Thank you very much. I'd like to do two things next. One is say that Isabel will be at the back of the room with some papers for colouring, etc., for children under 10, which by pure coincidence are relating to the same story as we are just about to read together. We're going to read, if you'd like to follow along, it will not be quite the same as your Bible reading, but it'll be very close to it, so I would like you to follow along. We'll be reading from the first book of Kings, chapter 18. Chapter 18, verses 19 to 40. This is one of the great stories in the Old Testament. One of the great stories in Scripture altogether. And we will be reading it together. So if you could follow while my readers...
You abandoned the Lord's commands, you have followed the Baals. Moreover, you said, meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah. As much longer will it take you to make up your minds? The Lord is God, worship him, as if Baal is God.
People didn't say a word.
And the only prophet of the Lord still left, 150 prophets of Baal, in the woods. And let the prophets of Baal pray to their God, the Lord. The one who answers by sending fire, he is God.
The people shouted their approval. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal,
not so many of you. You take the wool and prepare it first, your God. But don't set fire to the wood.
They took the bull that was brought to them, prepared it, and prayed to Baal until noon.
Answer us, Baal!
They kept dancing round the altar they had built, but no answer came. Soon, Elijah started making fun of
Hilda. He is God. Maybe he is thinking.
So the prophets prayed louder and cut themselves with knives and daggers according to their ritual until blood flowed. They kept on ranting and raving until the middle of the afternoon, but no answer came and not a sound was heard. Then Elijah said to the people,
"Come closer to me."
And they all gathered round him. They set about repairing the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes, named after the sons. With these stones, he rebuilt the altar for the worship. There was a trench around it, large enough to hold almost 14 meters of wood on the altar, a couple of burning pieces.
Pour it on the offering and the wood.
They did. And they did. They did. The water ran down around the altar and filled with the afternoon sacrifice. The prophet Elijah approached the altar.
Lord God, the God of Abraham, I know now that you are the God of Israel. Answer me, Lord. Answer me, so that this people will know that you, the Lord, are God, and that you are bringing them back to yourself.
The Lord sent fire down, and it burnt up the sacrifice, the wood, and dried up the water in the trench. When the people saw this, they threw themselves on the ground and killed them.
Please, don't let anyone get away.
They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley.
Thank you very much. What I'd like to do is to look at this chapter under a few observations, and then we'll sing, and then perhaps come back and look at a few applications. The time is, I'm afraid, relatively short for such a huge subject, so let us just take it in little pieces and look at it. Elijah is challenging the people here. He challenges them. He uses almost the same words they should have been familiar with. That same challenge had been put down a few hundred years previously by Joshua. Joshua had said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And there the people answer almost too willingly, too quickly. They said, "We will serve God." And Joshua has his doubts. This people are challenged with almost exactly the same challenge, but the response is mute. They say nothing. These are a people of no conviction. We know from the scripture that we've been reading that these people are wavering in their opinions. Yes, they will worship God, but they will also worship the Baals and a little bit in between. Do a little bit. Cover our options. Make sure that we do a bit to everybody and everybody will be happy. Elijah says no. Choose whether you worship God or the Baals. Scripture invariably mocks the idols and false gods for their uselessness. Time after time we read that the people worship on the high places. This is not Mount Carmel, but this is one of the high places, of high place of sacrifice. This actually is in Jordan. It was high because they were worshipping the sun, the weather, the rain, the thunder. It was very exposed. And sacrifices were made. Blood sacrifices, human sacrifices. And Elijah raises the question, is that what you want? Thank you, Tom. So when he chooses the place that this confrontation will take place, he chooses a high place. Not one of their pagan high places, but a place, in fact, where the worship of God had taken place in the past. And he mocks. Where is their rain? For 3 years they've been waiting for their rain, and their priests have not supplied it. Where is the lightning going to come from to destroy this sacrifice? Elijah takes them back
to where they actually are, a pagan people worshipping the basic elements. But Elijah's words are more than just ironic. Yes, he mocks them. And he's provocative. He's been deliberately provocative. Because the Israelites are being made to see just how useless and powerless these priests are. They held the power of life and death over their sacrifices. But could they achieve anything? Absolutely nothing. All the prophets mock taking a lump of wood, using part of it to keep warm, the other part decorating it as a god. They mock it. And Elijah does precisely the same. He mocks it to show their powerlessness. But notice the time of day when Elijah steps in. Twice we're told in the narrative that it is at the time of the evening sacrifice. The worship of God had stopped. It had been prevented. David filled us in very clearly last week with the fact that 100 prophets had been saved in the cave. They were having no effect on the people. They had been ghettoized, and the worship of God had stopped. But Elijah is going to ensure that not only is this a demonstration before the people of God's power, but the worship of God would be displayed. And so it's in the very hostile presence of Ahab and Jezebel's priests that Elijah prepares a burnt offering. That burnt offering cannot be made in Jerusalem. The kingdom, as David and Doug and Jim had told us previously, the tribes had been divided. This was the northern kingdom. No longer could they make sacrifices in Jerusalem. But Elijah prepares a burnt offering. So Elijah repairs an old altar. He will not use the pagan altar of the Baal priests. He rebuilds an old altar to God. And he prepares it with 12 stones. And we're told that each one representing the tribes of Israel. How many tribes? 12, he counts here. And yet the kingdom was divided. He's not just reflecting on the 10 tribes in the northern kingdom. He's including the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, in the southern kingdom. As far as he's concerned, they are still an entity before God. So Elijah's altar represents all his people. Elsewhere we're asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? Elijah obviously doesn't think so, because he is going to soak his sacrifice and his altar in water. I think Esther read 15 litres. We're giving various measurements of barrels and so on. But a lot of water. Probably seawater. The time of drought and on a mountain range overhanging the Mediterranean, I think it's probably going to be seawater. Somebody had to actually carry it up there. It's not going to be on a mountaintop. Elijah was prepared. Whether it was fresh or salt, I would think it had to be carried there, and Elijah had prepared the way. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Elijah didn't think so. And just look at Elijah's prayer. What does he actually pray for? He prays for God's glory. He prays that people should recognize the presence of the Lord. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known to you today that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. This was not Elijah's choosing. This was not Elijah's choice of place. It was at the Lord's command. Incidentally, it's interesting that we think of Ahab actually being the person he's confronted with. In one sense, Ahab here looks extremely weak. He does what Elijah tells him. He does basically what his wife is telling him. He might have been an evil king, but I would suggest he's also a very weak king. And as Elijah prays, and he prays to the living God, I would ask you when you have a moment to look forward. Read into John 17 when the Lord prays before his crucifixion. And the summary of what the Lord prays there could be summarized almost in the same words as Elijah. It is for God's glory and the revelation of God's glory in Jesus Christ. Here Elijah is not doing it for his own, nothing for his own credibility in his own person. He is only interested in God's glory. And that brings us probably to the most controversial thing. And that's the execution of the prophets. When God answers Elijah from heaven, that sacrifice is totally consumed. And not only the sacrifice, but the altar, the water, everything is taken away. It is a total. And then we read of Elijah saying, take the prophets and kill them. Do we really have a God that delights in having these prophets killed? I think we've got to look a little further. These prophets were not just misguided do-gooders. These were a murderous cult. Not only were they engaged in blood sacrifices, but where had all the prophets of God and the people of God gone? Elijah says at the beginning, I am the last prophet in the land, the last public speaking prophet in the land. Why? Because the others have either fled or been killed. These prophets are not just misguided. They are actively murdering and hunting down the priests of God. That is where Elijah is. That is why he demands an immediate execution. These people are evil. We do not rejoice in it. But these people had done dreadful things. Let's stop there and sing. If we could stand and sing together. Hymn 237, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glossy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, words and art nevermore shall be. Holy, holy, though the darkness hide thee, though of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Thank you. Please be seated. There are three areas I just want to look at as we look at an application. Firstly, I would ask, did Elijah want to be there? Did he actually want to be there at all? And I think sometimes he is there because God has commanded it. We would love to do what we like doing. We would like to be friends with everybody. That is what we are naturally, and we want to be. But sometimes we are called to a place of conflict, however painful that can be. And it causes the question, where are we called to be? The Lord, when he was teaching here, he said, take up your cross and follow me. And is not the servant. The servant is not greater than his master. If our Lord suffered in this world, we will have done very well if we do not suffer. But the Lord provides the measure. He provides the strength. Elijah, we know, could not have done what he did in his own strength. He has nothing to bring but what God gives him. So he comes in God's strength. And that is the promise that is given to us, that we will be given the strength and the words when they are required. Elijah also, for the second point, makes the choice very simple. Choose you whether you worship the God or the Baals. Which is it to be? Do we recognize our gods, our idolatry? I think we are so easily blinded. We do not have idols in our homes. We do not bow down to Asherah poles. We don't have idols, do we? But in fact, everything, anything can become an idol. Paul puts it something to actually flee from. He says, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. It is so attractive. We come to it so easily. We fall into that trap. So readily. Paul says, flee from it. We're not even good at resisting it. We are very, very capable of being idolaters. I worked with one person, and he said to me, you worship God, I worship my family. And he put it in those terms. That he was asking that family to take on something that they could not bear or stand. He didn't realize what he was even saying. But we all very easily look to something else. And it's different for each one of us. And dare I say, Satan knows which button to press for each one of us. One of us will respond to one thing. One, it'll be money. Another, it'll be sex. Another, it'll be position. We all respond to different stimuli, but we will respond. Paul says, flee. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Satan knows which button to press. A third point, which I think is the most important. The worship of God is paramount. That stands above all else. That ancient altar is rebuilt in spite of the opposition. We're given no indication who built it originally or when, but Elijah maintains that continuity. The worship of God will be maintained. The evening sacrifice will be made. And as Elijah does that, he remembers the whole Israelite people. So as we come to this table, we're reminded that this remembrance of the Lord in his death, as we come to the Lord's table this morning, will continue until he comes. That worship will be maintained. Even if we fail, the Lord will ensure that that worship is maintained. So we're reminded that the remembrance of the Lord will continue until he comes. And so Elijah also remembers the whole Israelite people. Remember both tribes, Judah and Israel, were remembered in that altar. And when we break bread, we're not just breaking bread with each other in this room. We are linked with every believer in Jesus. Everywhere. That bread is one bread, and we are all, Scripture teaches us, one bread. We are part with every believer. That is the witness that God has created. So the worship of God will continue, even in a place of such evil. So what do we look at when we look at this huge story? It's an amazing story, which I feel that this morning I'm not able to really do justice to. It's far too great for the time that I've got available. We do not remember, and nor does it record, the greatness of Elijah. It records the actions of a sovereign God who's angered by evil and who listens to the cries of his martyred people. He had heard his prophets' cries even as they were martyred. So as we come to break this bread together, let us also remember that we remember a God who's entered history and laid down his life that we might live. We're going to sing now. So, hymn that some may not be familiar with, but if you're not familiar with it, please just listen to these words, because I think they give an indication of just who we're coming to meet as we come to this table. Please stand.
Since the Son in love stands and bids us view his pierced hands, points to the wounded feet and side, blessed emblems of the crucified. Food luxurious loads at the board, when at his table sits the Lord. The wine how rich, the bread how sweet, when Jesus stays at best to me. Souls to thirst anew, his marked but lovely face. of you. Glorious bridegroom of our hearts, thy present smile a heaven imparts. Oh, lift the veil, if veil there be, let every saint thy beauty see. Please sit. As we come to the Lord's table, we believe strongly that Jesus is the host and that every believer in him is welcome to partake. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, please do not feel embarrassed to let the bread and wine pass you by. This is serious. So we ask that children should speak with an elder before taking the bread and wine. It is our custom to hold the bread and the cup of wine until all are served, and then we eat together. Let us just join together and pray within the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Could my helpers come up, please? I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Lord Jesus, as we take these words directly from you, we would take this bread now and remember what you have done, that you have indeed given up your life, your body, for the life of the world. That it is so efficacious that if everybody in this world were to believe in you, yet your sacrifice would cover all their sins. Lord, we cannot understand it, we cannot appreciate it, but we simply thank you. We take this bread in remembrance and share it with each other, remembering what you have done in your body on that cross. Lord, help us understand it as we eat this bread together and give you thanks in your name. Amen. Thank you.
If all are served, let us eat together with thanksgiving. Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And Lord Jesus, as we would just remember back to that occasion, that final supper with your disciples, we would see the end of a covenant, the Passover covenant, but the institution of something new. A new covenant which was between yourself and your God. A new covenant which is not dependent on us. A new covenant which sets us free from all that has gone before. And this was accomplished by your death. So Lord, as we take this cup, we take it seriously, but also with tremendous joy, because we have been set free, not because of what we have done, because of what you are and what you have done. Lord, we just thank you that you are resurrected, that you are alive forever. And as we take this cup now, we back to an event in history which has changed all history, which has changed the whole understanding that we have of a holy God, but a holy God who has come out in mercy for a creature that you love. Lord, we just give you thanks now for from our hearts as we take this cup together. In your name. Amen. Let us drink together in thanksgiving. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old yeast, yeast of malice and wickedness, but with bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. Let us sing again. I'm afraid we sang this last week, but I hope you will bear with me in singing it again. Lo, he comes with clouds descending. 424.
Descending once for favored sinners slain, thousand 10,000 saints attending swell the triumph of his train. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God appears on earth to reign. Every eye shall now behold him robed in dreadful majesty. Those who set at naught and sold him, pierced and nailed him to the tree, deeply wailing, deeply wailing, deeply wailing, shall the true Messiah see. Redemption long expected, see in solemn pomp appear all his saints by man rejected, now shall meet him in the air. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. See the day of God appear. Yea, amen, let all adore thee high on thy eternal throne. Saviour, take the power and glory, claim the kingdom of thine own. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everlasting God, come down.
Jesus said, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. And the oldest blessing that we know, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Prayer ministry, I'm afraid I don't know where, but it will be in that corner over there. Jackie, I think, and so on. And otherwise, coffee, tea, etc. Thank you very much. Please be seated.
We gather with Carolyn propping behind the curtains.
Oh, yes, I do. Fine. Yeah.
Have you any idea what's coming in
that? I only know that I didn't know anything about this at all. I can only guess it's something to do with you up and the limb. I don't know. I'm only guessing.
No, I don't know. Yeah.
Did Jim see you? Yeah.
Okay.